catch the door.
There you go.
Watch your fingers.
Okay.
Why don't you put it down right there?
There we go. All right.
In with the new, out with the old. Let's go, Jerry.
Now you know where this is going.
Yeah, 1268 Hudson.
Right, the Thibodeaux's.
Yeah.
That's my sister and brother-in-law's place. They get the couch and the chair.
Okay. Gotcha.
Let's go.
Oh, and my mom wanted me to give you this.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, thanks
a lot.
Don't leave. I also have a box of some of Sandra's old things.
Pardon me? What's going on?
We brought you a new couch. We're taking this old couch to Thibodeaux.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, a new couch ordered by Mrs. Huxtable. You Mr. Huxtable?
Doctor.
All right, well, we'll see you later, Doc.
No. No, bring that back
here.
Hey, hi, hon.
Hey.
Bring it back.
How you like the new couch?
Yeah, I'm fine, but put that down here.
Is this staying or is this going?
No, this is staying, so just put
this
it down.
This is going.
No.
Mom said the old couch goes.
Yeah? Well, you're gonna go. Here, put that down there, please.
Look, she's only doing what her mother told her to do.
I beg your pardon? Thank you.
I better call Mom and tell her
right.
about this.
Call your mother. Call her every day. Call her all day long. Call her. Tell me that somebody's going to move something and I didn't give any permission. I'm a half-interest owner in this place also. You understand what I'm saying? This has been my sofa, man. I've watched black and white westerns from this sofa. Gone to sleep, it has cuddled me. You understand what I'm saying? This, I don't know. I don't know this from anything. This is going to stay, and if you have any trouble with Mrs. Huxtable, you just say, your husband said for us to leave it, all right?
All right.
This is for you. Thank you. And this is for you. Thank you. You'll take this.
Hey, you're a real sport, Doc.
Thank you. Take care, fellas.
Have a good day.
Take care of yourself. All right. Don't worry. I'll fix the door. All right. Take care.
Thanks,
yes, indeed. Take my sofa, Jack.
Couldn't reach Mom. She's on her way home.
Well, fine. Let it be that. I'm looking at this thing. This may be all right for some people. It'd be fine for you and Rudy to jump on, you know. But I'm talking about life! I tried to separate us.
It's here. Oh, I love it! It looks better than it did on the showroom floor. What is this?
Mom, I really tried, but Dad overruled you.
Cliff, what are you doing? You're supposed to have a patient at 4:00, honey. That's why I scheduled the delivery for now.
Mm-hmm. And thank goodness that my patient canceled, or else I would not have been here to see my wife stab me in the sofa.
We can discuss this later. I have news for the whole family.
Really?
Theo! Rudy, come downstairs! Vanessa, why don't you have a seat on the new couch?
All right, the new couch came.
It's nice.
Hey, my son, sit with me on the old sofa.
When are we getting rid of this old thing?
This is a cold-blooded house.
Okay, the news is... I'm going to be on television.
All right!
Soul Train!
No.
What show?
Retrospective.
Never heard of it.
It's a political panel discussion where intelligent people get together and talk about history.
It comes on at 8 o'clock in the morning, Rudy. And it doesn't have anybody on it who says, where are you going? Intellectual men who sit around and say, well, I believe that the aforementioned statement has very little to do with the cohesiveness.
Yeah, I know the show. Mm-hmm. They have the same three guys every week. How'd you get on?
They want a new panelist. They want to liven things up. And if it works out, I could be there every week.
Now, look, all I'm saying is just watch out, because you and I have watched that program, and you know how those three get with each other. They are some nasty little men when they want to be.
Well, you forget who you're talking to, honey. I've gone up against some of the nastiest attorneys in the city. Now, I can hold my ground.
Ooh, go, Mom!
Come on, you guys. Let's go make dinner for our TV star. Ha-ha.
say.
Uh-huh. And there's the three wise men.
And they're probably engaged in some deep philosophical discussion at this very moment.
Phil, that is truly an incomprehensible statement. How could a man of your intelligence reach such a ludicrous conclusion?
I'm sorry, but I stand by my opinion. I believe the Celtics are going to beat the Knicks in the Garden tonight. You're both whistling in your hats. The only important issue is which team can whip the Pistons.
Miss Huxtable? Hi, we're starting in 1 minute. Your seat is on the left.
Okay.
Dr. Huxtable, you can watch the show from the green room. There's coffee and donuts.
Donuts! All right.
Huh?
Donuts. No donuts. Right. All right, dear. Break a brain.
Please get somebody in there quick to hide the donuts.
Will do.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we're ready to start. This is our new panelist, Claire Huxtable.
I'm Phil Kensington.
Hello.
Mason Benedict.
Hello.
Ian Troquette.
Hello. I feel like I know all of you because I watch the show every week.
Well, I'm glad to know someone wakes up at 8 o'clock Sunday mornings. You must be the one person who keeps showing up in our ratings.
10 seconds. Quiet, please. In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning and welcome to Retrospective, the weekly program that explores historical events from an economic, social, and political perspective. I am your host, Ian Troquette. This week we examine the Great Depression, the bleakest of times on the American landscape. Was it an aberration in the natural fiscal cycle, or was it an economic inevitability? To examine this question, we are joined by our regular panelists, Mason Benedict, noted author, essayist and consultant to the Institute of National Conservatism, Philip Kensington, author and historian, and founder of Americans for Democratic Reform. And for the first time in our show's history, we're introducing a new panelist, Claire Huxtable, attorney and partner in the corporate law firm of Greentree, Bradley, and Dexter. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you very much.
Hi. I'm very happy.
I'm Hector. How are you? Nice to meet you.
I'm here to make sure that you don't eat the donuts.
Gentlemen and lady, who would like to be the first to journey into the abyss of the Great Depression?
Well, Ian, first of all, your question was half-baked. The Depression was not an aberration or an inevitability. It was just a self-corrective event in the history of our economy. That's it.
Mason, a simple answer from a simple mind. How can you refer to something as self-corrective when 24% of the labor force was thrown out into the streets? Children were on city sidewalks selling apples for a nickel.
Well, Phil, I can say once again, you're going to sweep us through history in a canoe of tears. When will you liberals face up to the fact that Franklin Roosevelt kept this depression going with suffocating regulations and socialist programs like the WPA, the PWA, the CCC, and the NRA? I think it was all a lot of B-O-L-L.
Mrs. Huxtable, I thought the presence of a lady would encourage these gentlemen to be more civil with one another, but I guess not.
It's all right. I'm the mother of five. I'm quite accustomed to uncivil behavior. Anyway, Mr. Benedict, you mentioned the NRA, the National Recovery Administration. I think we can't begin to discuss the Depression unless we examine the ramifications of the Supreme Court decision of 1935, which declared the NRA unconstitutional.
She's cooking, isn't she? Rice and beans.
The implications of that Supreme Court decision.
Let's not overestimate the Supreme Court decision. We have to focus on the important issue here.
All right, I think that this is an important issue.
Well, the only reason that there was a depression in this country was that 5% of the population in 1929 held one-third of all the wealth.
If it hadn't been for the hysterics of the liberals, it would have been over in 6 months.
Well, if I may interject here, don't you think that's being a little bit overly optimistic, 6 months?
Now, nobody has addressed what I consider to be a major factor, the nation's flawed banking structure.
Banking had nothing to do with it. You're all sending up smoke screens. It was a classic business downturn, an exhaustion of labor and resources that led to the bust.
Well, actually, that's not true.
Pardon me.
In 1929, there were more than enough raw materials to maintain the current rate of production.
Do you have a source to back that up?
As a matter of fact, I do. The Great Crash by John Kenneth Galbraith.
Well, I read Mr. Galbraith's book, and I'm afraid you're wrong.
I don't think I am.
Ian, you have a copy of the Galbraith book in your office, don't you?
Well, yes.
Great. Why don't we get it and look it up?
You'll only be sorry if we get the book.
I want the book.
I see that it's time for a commercial break. We'll be back in a minute.
You know what these are?
Keys.
Uh-huh.
Is the key on that ring able to open the door to where the book is?
See.
Ah, my wife wants the book.
Uh-huh. I don't know where the room is.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on. You lead the way. Lead the way.
Follow me.
Underlay.
We're still in a commercial break. We'll be rolling tape in 1 minute.
Claire, may I call you Claire?
Of course.
If we had time to get the book, I'm sure I would be proven correct. There weren't enough raw materials in 1929 to maintain production.
There were enough raw materials, and that's in Galbraith's book.
Mrs. Huxtable, I think we've made it clear there is no time to get the book.
Who are you?
Here we have it. The Great Crash by John Kenneth Galbraith.
Fine, now we can straighten this out.
Chapter 9, gentlemen, page 173.
All right, here it is. Raw materials in 1929 were ample for the current rate of production.
Wow, that has very little effect on my argument.
Really, it seemed to me you were placing great emphasis on that point.
I was not. You weren't listening.
Here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome back to Retrospective. As it turns out, Mrs. Huxtable is correct. There was ample raw material to maintain production in 1929. It appears that our esteemed colleague, Mr. Benedict, is fallible.
Well, I've been aware of his being fallible for 12 years.
Let's get serious again.
Yes, let's. I'd like to go back to what we were discussing prior to the commercial break.
Oh.
Yes, that is the banking structure of this nation in 1929.
Oh, come on now. We've beaten that into the ground.
Yeah, I agree. There are much bigger fish in the ocean.
I think we should explore the relationship of the stock market crash of 1929 to the Great Depression. Mason?
Absolutely no relationship whatsoever. They're about as related as the French Revolution is to French fries.
Oh. My colleague's brain, I'm afraid, has become French fried.
Mason?
It's my turn.
Oh, did you want to add something?
Yes, I would like to add here that the Depression was still ravaging the nation when the stock market began to recover. In my opinion, the crash was a precipitating event.
That is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Oh, no, I wouldn't call her opinion ridiculous. A bit naive,
my
perhaps.
My opinion is neither naive nor ridiculous. And how the Sam Hill do you expect to have a discussion if all points of view are not taken into consideration?
I believe it's time for a commercial break.
You just took a commercial break.
We're taking another one. We'll be right back.
Ian, why did you take a commercial?
Well, because I wanted to.
But you're not scheduled to.
Look, I felt things were getting out of control, and I wanted to put a stop to it.
Ian is right. We have to have order here.
She was disrupting the flow.
I was trying to become part of the conversation.
Well, there she goes again! Frankly, Steve, I don't think this new panelist is working out.
Ian, you know the station management is concerned about our low ratings. We're trying to broaden our viewership.
Yes. Fine. Then let her speak when we get to the black topics.
Excuse me, black topics? Is that what I'm here to do? Talk about the black topics?
No, you're also here to speak for women.
Oh, that's nice. I am a woman who is black, but I'm also a human being who is an attorney, a mother of five, and somewhat knowledgeable about history, which is why I thought I was invited here. But when you look at me, this is all you see in me, a black woman?
Oh, no, absolutely
no,
not.
No, we really
have to get back to the show.
Oh,
Ian, are you calm enough to continue?
I guess. I'll give it the old college try.
Quiet, please. In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, we're back. Mrs. Huxtable, I'm afraid we only have 30 seconds left. In that time, could you please tell us what effect the Depression had on the blacks?
You want me to sum that up in 30 seconds?
Well, it's closer to 20 seconds now. How did the Depression affect blacks?
Well, We learned that misery does not love company.
That's today's edition of Retrospective. I'm Ian Truckett. Join us again next week.
Told you she could handle herself.
Your wife, la mujer perfecta.
Yes. Now, how long will it be for her to come down here?
No, that will take off her makeup.
Oh, okay.
Do you want some Cuban coffee?
Cuban coffee, yes, mm-hmm. I think I will, please. There you are. Have a look. Oh, this is angry.
Strong coffee.
Oh, coffee is good.
No good. No donuts, please. My wife doesn't want me to have donuts either.
Your wife won't let you have any either?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, have some coffee. Uh-huh. Have some coffee. Oh, boy. What are you doing?
This is a donut.
Yeah, I know that. And this is a donut.
Yes, it's not a donut.
This is not a donut.
No, you can't have it.
Hang on. Not a donut.
Not a donut.
All right.
Yes. Keep the pastry in peace. I'm just glad you're here.
Dear, you were absolutely perfecta.
Estupenda.
Yes.
Thank you.
Señora, estuvo maravillosa.
Ay, muchas gracias.
De nada.
Honey, I don't want to deal with makeup. I just want to get out of here. Thank you.
Hello. One second. Señora, para usted.
Okay, thank you. Hello. Really? Let me think about that a minute. It's the producers, darling. They said it's the best show they've ever had. They want me to stay.
Really? Well, it's up to you, dear.
I thought about it. The answer's no. Thank you. Getting up at 4:30 in the morning to prove who I am to three men who are basking in the non-existent rays of their own intelligence is not my idea of a fun time.
That is not a donut.
Almost 8 o'clock. Mom and Dad better hurry up or they're gonna miss our show.
Hey, you guys, come into the living room. I want you to see what I did with the furniture. I rearranged it so both Mom and Dad will be happy. Come on.
Wow, this is great.
Theo, Mom and Dad are never gonna go for this.
Ah, this looks perfect.
No.
Come on, please, dear. This is my couch. This is my chair.
Cliff, let go. Now, sweetheart, I know how attached you are to these things. But there comes a time in every man's life when he has to let go.
Yeah, and if he's married many times.
Whatever it is, darling, let go. Come on, kids, let's get our coats and go.
What about your show? Aren't we going to watch it?
We're going to tape it, all right? I'll tell you about it on the way to church. You coming?
Just let me have a minute here.
show was taped before a studio audience.